Hello, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby, and I am standing inside of Esmeralda's apartment. How are you?
I'm good.
It's pretty late. It's around 3 a.m. on an early Wednesday morning. I'm about to fly back to Washington, D.C. Esmeralda just bartended the Pizza Film Festival. It was a very successful night.
It was very successful.
And you're going to hear all about the Pizza Film Festival later on in this episode, but I stay with Esmeralda when I'm in town. Thank you, Esmeralda.
No problem.
We're in the room where we recorded Sábado Gigante, so if you ended up watching any of that live stream, you know exactly what we're doing right now. We're currently standing in that, is it a living room, a sitting room? It's a very nice room.
I call it the sitting room.
It's a sitting room, and we're facing Lincoln Avenue. We're on Lincoln, and she didn't say the address, but we're in Lincoln Square.
Yeah.
We're in Lincoln Square facing Lincoln Avenue. We're facing a lot of businesses. It's a very safe neighborhood. You'd say it's a safe neighborhood, is that correct?
I would say so.
A lot of families in this neighborhood. The reason why I'm talking about the families in the neighborhood is because we stumbled upon something that's quite odd. Do you want to tell the listener at home what the hell we just did?
So we were walking up the stairs, going to my apartment, and the neighbors across the way, their door is ajar.
It's ajar.
And the lights are all on, and neither of us want to go barge in on a dead body.
Yes. The lights are on. The door is open. We knocked 3 times total. Yeah. You knocked once. I knocked twice. You said hello. I said hey. And I go hello. Yes. Very loudly. No one responded.
Yeah. And I bet you there's a body in there.
So we're assuming maybe a body. We're probably.
I assume the worst.
I would like to point out that Merle is completely sober.
Yeah.
I've had a few. But I'm not like, oh my God, a dead body. No, This is fucking creepy as hell.
Just, yeah, in any case, sober, drunk,
yes.
No one wants to find a dead body.
So we're just standing here because, what did we do? We called 311, and then we realized, hey, 311 is information, I just wasted a dollar.
No, 411.
I called 411 first, then I call 311. We tell the 311 operator, they go, oh no, that's a 911 call, let me transfer you. We call 911 maybe 7 minutes ago. Therefore, nothing's happened. We're on minute 10 at this point, and there is no cop yet. Do you think the cops are actually going to show up?
No, they will. I mean, I'm just thinking of the door ajar and everything. I don't want to be the beginnings of a Law and Order episode.
Okay.
Oh, and there's the cops.
Okay, the cops are here, so we're going to find out if we're going to be the ones buzzed in. I'm assuming that since the woman cop that is staring at me realizes, hopefully this is not the same apartment, and they do come up. Anyways, Esmeralda's going to deal with this, and I'm going to explain the show to you. Tonight was the second annual Pizza Film Festival. Okay, so if the cops do come in, we'll podcast with them. It's going to be delightful. Esmeralda's going to talk to the cops right now. The second annual Pizza Film Festival was a giant success, and I would love to thank Tia Ayers. Without Tia Ayers, none of this could have happened. That's the buzzer. The cops are here. One of the good things about doing shows with the Hungry Brain is and a good night, on a night like tonight, it kind of becomes like the epicenter of everything that this podcast is, and everything that I like really, really enjoy in one city, and it's fantastic. So in this episode, you're going to get to hear some of my favorite people talk about what they're passionate about. You're going to get to talk to, you're going to hear some of the guys from the Late Live Show, another talk show in Chicago. We're going to hear from CJ Toledano. We're going to hear from Megan Gailey, who's the host of 8x8. We're going to hear from Danny Callis and Jill Kilgallen, two of the comedians you should know. And you're going to hear from Tia Ayers, the head of the Pizza Film Festival. So here are the cops, time to go, and here's the show. All right, who am I speaking with?
Hi, I'm Andrew Smirker. I'm a writer on the Late Live Show.
And I'm AJ Conover. I'm also a writer on the Late Live Show.
And we are outside of the Hungry Brain. It's post-Pizza Film Festival, and it was a big success. You had a film in the festival.
I did have a film in the festival.
What was the name of your film?
It was called Manderley's. It was a film about a painting restorer who inserts the image of his dead son into his paintings after he restores them.
Which started out as a Late Live Show sketch and then had a piece of pizza shoehorned into it to qualify for the festival.
Okay. Was that part of the Late Live Show when you did it live? Was that one of the things you guys projected?
Yeah, it was season 2, right,
yeah,
AJ?
Season 2.
Yeah, and yeah, it was when we had a fair emphasis on trying to get just videos into the show, which I think we're going to try to bring back.
Well, the show is currently on hiatus. Is that how I should say it? What happened exactly?
I mean, there are kind of rumors as to what happened. And
that's why you're on the show. You're part of the show.
Okay, right, right.
Set it straight.
I think the rumor is that, like, Jeff Garland got the show canceled. That's the rumor. I think, okay, so basically what happened is there was some, and this is like already been publicly stated, but like there was a little bit of confusion as to what our involvement was with Second City.
You guys were at Second City.
We were, right.
It was like a third floor, is that right?
We were at the DeMott Theater at Second City.
Which was a great little theater. It was like an 80-seater, 40-seater.
The room was really incredible, and there was some great stuff that I'll really miss about it, like getting to watch the show from the booth, I think was awesome. But, yeah, it was a great, and it kind of felt like a TV studio, too.
Yes, it definitely did.
Yeah, yeah. But that was, it's not an official Second City theater.
Okay.
Right? But when we would tell people that the show was at Second City, because that is kind of where it was, I think the guests would get confused and they'd say, I'm at a show in Second City, and then they'd kind of tweet that. And then we'd sort of hear back from Second City being like, you're not a Second City show. You have to make that clear. It was just a very difficult line to establish. And I think there were gray areas on both ends. Like, there were kind of people at fault on both sides, I think. But basically they got it happened multiple times after they had warned us, and so as a result they canceled the show.
But you guys are still going.
Yes, we've been approached by a few venues and we've sought out a few venues. There's with the venues that have approached us. They really do want us, and they bring us out to come check it out. But then when they get into the specifics of how they can put us into their already very busy schedule, it starts to become a delayed, like it's not going to happen right away or something. So, yeah, I mean, we're pursuing offers and we're seeking out offers.
It's good.
Yeah, because I mean, the venues that have approached us are very reputable venues, but we also really just kind of want to put the show back on.
Yeah, we'll take anything right now.
Where's the ideal venue? What are you looking at that's a possibility?
I don't know how much we really should talk.
Okay, that's fine. Let's describe the show to people.
Yeah.
I always compared myself to Ferguson. You guys are not doing Ferguson. You're doing like you're doing like a real like joke heavy monologue, and you have the interview with the guest. It's not like, oh, here's my dick. It's not like that.
Right. I mean, I guess we talked about it was always Conan.
We
was
just write the show with our dicks out.
Right.
A little bit.
Did it? Okay.
Yeah, you guys were way more cone.
I'm not an improviser.
Yeah, no, it was I think it's very simple. I think it's you know, it's just a group of guys who came together for a cool idea.
Okay.
And we all really got along well. And so we just
still get along.
We do actually. I think that was the first season. The thing that we were happiest about was that we got through that whole thing and we were all still friends.
We got along, yeah.
How many people put the show on?
Currently, it's got to be probably. There are eight or so writers, and then there's a crew of people. We have like an art director. We have an originally composed theme song. We have, we have like a floor director, three camera operators, a teleprompter technician, like all that stuff.
We really, it was really important to us to make sure we were doing it the right way. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't want to have a half-assed show, you know.
Yeah, we just tried to be as professional about it as possible, and we looked at the late night talk show format as like a way of being really classic, but then getting to put in like an absurdist sensibility. I mean, a lot of that was CJ and Joe really wanted to do like
last names,
CJ Toledano and Joe Quizzala.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They really wanted to do a classic late night talk show.
What do you hope happens with it now? Because you have this time to like figure that out. Do you want to stick with that format? Do you want to try something else?
I think it'd be fun for me. Like, I'm always looking to see like where we can push on it a little bit. And I think a new venue is really like a thing that was starting to re-peak my interest about like where the show could go. And hey, it's CJ Toledano. We're doing a podcast, I think, about the late live show. Do you want to come over here? what were we talking about? Like,
what do you hope happens?
Yeah, I think we'd like to put the show. We just want to keep putting it out there, and I'd like for it to catch on more. Like, quite frankly, like, yeah. I feel like we built a following and people came out to it, but like, in the Chicago world of comedy, it was a thing that people knew about and they hear that it's good, but not everyone saw it. And I'd like for it to be a thing where it's like the students, you know, that like kind of crowd, like the people who are like, oh, what are the good shows? Like they know it and they come to it consistently.
Yeah, I mean, and I think you're right. Like the scene itself, it's very hard to get peers to come to your shows, no matter how good they are, you know, just because we're all doing, we're all working at it.
Mm-hmm. All right, and I think we did really well, and the people who came to the show obviously were very grateful.
Yeah, they liked it. They loved it. It's just that, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I didn't have a problem with it.
You guys are part of Sketchfest. It's coming up in January. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The next show people can check out.
Yeah, Quizzal and I had just started to talk about how we're going to approach Sketchfest. I think what we're going to aim to try to do is just do an episode of the Late Live Show. Like we did a 4-week run at the Playground where we just did straight sketches. That was really fun. So we have all these like just straightforward sketches that we've collected, but we also think it would be kind of good to have an advertisement for the Late Live. We're billed as the Late Live Show and all that sort of stuff. So
where can people find you online?
TheLateLiveShow.com.
TheLateLiveShow.com. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.
All right. Who am I speaking with?
CJ Toledano, the regular of, or a regular of, You Me, Them, Everybody.
You just hosted the Pizza Film Festival.
I did. Well, yeah, I hosted, but with the lovely help of Tia Ayers.
Yeah, Tia Ayers put this whole thing on. It was absolutely fantastic.
I feel like I can't take any responsibility for what happened. She just gave a microphone and said introduce films, but she did all the work.
She did all of the work. Yeah. This is your second year doing this show.
Yeah, it's honestly, I don't, like, in my head I'm like, oh, it'll be great, it'll be cool, but it literally blows my mind every time how well it goes and like the films I see. Like, I was actually very impressed with the films. They were better
quality
than last
films.
Year. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think they were a lot better than last year.
Well, last year you were about to move. Tia currently lives in LA.
No, I'm serious.
Yeah, like she flew in for this thing.
A lot's happened since, but I mean, I was going to come back here regardless for this.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm living here now, and I'm just so happy because me and Tia don't get a chance to hang out as much anymore since we live in different cities. But she was very great. I was very gracious enough for her to ask me.
I'd like to point out how difficult it was for me to be in a room, be in the Hungry Brain, the place where I do my talk show, one of the places, and not be on stage. It's very odd.
I could tell because you just like creep on stage.
I crept on stage
like,
twice.
Grab the mic and then I could see that.
It's fucking weird.
When I see shows in the DeMat, I'm like, oh yeah, and I can't stop picturing why they in this space that we used to do a show at.
Yeah, it's very odd. I mean, what do I need to do to get over that?
You don't.
Don't get over that?
Being an artist.
Oh, fuck you, CJ.
Yeah.
How was your Thanksgiving? We hung out earlier in the day.
Thanksgiving was great. Spent it at my girlfriend's. We had some comedians over and her friends as well. It was nice.
It's like the movie Funny People, but funny.
Yeah.
What do you think about the movie Funny People, CJ?
I love Funny People, actually. It's
really?
It's very sad. It's a sad movie, and it's everyone thinks it's supposed to be funny, but it ends up being very sad.
All right, so last time we talked, it was mostly about Thanksgiving and your positive attitude. Let's be more realistic here.
You, like, put a spin on that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I wanted it to be a positive thing. Like, I don't want just people bitching and stuff, but, like, what are your plans? I mean, you're in Chicago. You don't need to be in Chicago. What do you hope happens with this? Is it a visit? Are you living here? Like, what's the deal?
I mean, honestly, I would actually love to just do another year here, but, you know, with that credit and what I've done in the past
being?
Laying In with Jimmy Fallon.
Okay, could I ask you a quick question about Time Out Chicago wrote a thing, or Esquire, or GQ, or one of those, somebody wrote a thing about Groupon, and they talked about the Late Live Show, and they credited you with as a Comedy Central writer.
Oh, right, yeah, so the girl asked me what I was doing, what I've been doing since Fallon. I said, I went and punched up some Comedy Central pilots.
Is that true?
A little bit. We had meetings and we talked about it, and those pilots, I guess, were dog shit. They were just like, yeah, my manager hooked me up with these people.
Do you get paid when you punch up pilots?
If it goes.
Oh, really? Yeah. So it's kind of like freelancing in
a
way.
It's like if it goes, and then you get staffed, and like, yeah.
All right. What do you want to happen, though, now that you're, I mean, like you said you want to spend a year.
Long term, or just, I want
to. In this calendar year, next year for Pizza Film Festival 3, do you want to be here? Do you want to be in New York, LA, not in comedy at all? What do you hope happens?
I want to be here, and I hope I get a job that, you know, I want to get another apartment here of my own, and I want to listen to records and write comedy for the sake of.
What records?
Anything.
You love Wilco, don't you?
I love Wilco. Do you have if anyone has any hookups to any of the six nights that they're coming here in December, let me know. I need a. I didn't have any money.
So that's the thing. Let's get CJ a ticket to Wilco.
Please. Okay. I love Wilco so much.
And you love pizza.
I love pizza. Chicago, like... like, people don't understand. Everyone's like, why don't you go to L.A.? But I literally love every single thing about this city. It's insane.
And you got your iPhone stolen today.
Got my iPhone stolen.
Welcome to Chicago, CJ.
Right. No, it's so funny. That's the first time I ever had anything stolen. Or, yeah, I got fucking a scam pulled on me in a Starbucks.
Welcome back.
Yeah. It's great. I love it. I should be... No, this life has kicked my ass so much.
Shut up.
I know, right. I mean, like, things have happened that suck, but in the... You know, retrospect of the world and its problems. Like, I'm a fucking baby.
You're a comedy writer and you're young.
Yeah. Everyone keeps saying I'm young, but we're.
How old?
24.
And you have a late night credit.
Sure.
Shut up.
But yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I can't defend myself. But I have peers who have that credit and more and are like.
Oh, whatever.
Right.
You don't have a coke problem, though. They do.
Sure. I mean, who knows? I'm young.
Yeah, let's get that coke problem going. Thanks, DJ. All right. Who am I speaking with?
Joe Kilgallen.
And?
Light the cigarette, buddy. Come on.
Oh, Danny Kallis, right here.
There you go.
Hey.
Two of the comedians you should know.
That's right.
Time to plug the show.
Plug the show, yeah.
Yeah, comediansyoushouldknow.com.
The show. There you go.
We're actually, it's a group of six comedians. We released an album on iTunes. It was pretty successful. Check it out.
It's number one.
And you can check us out in Chicago every Wednesday at Timothy O'Toole's, which... is a bar downtown, which most people think bars downtown. I don't want to go over there. A lot of Jagos over there, stuff like that. Here's what I'm saying. Almost every bar downtown sucks.
This is a simple, where's the
And
show?
If you were to look it in, like, in anybody's eyes, they'd probably be like, Timothy O'Toole sucks. On paper, you know, like cool kids.
It looks like, I mean, I love Timothy O'Toole's, but when you walk in, it's like the Irish Chili's, right? It looks like
right, that. But even on paper, like if you saw the website, you'd be like, thank God, this fucking butt. The fuck is this?
Yeah, there's 4,000 TVs.
When you it's walk like, in, I'm telling you, the service is pretty good.
Oh, my God, I love all the waitresses.
Like this one time, I ordered an apple, right?
Fuck you.
They didn't even have apples. They ran out. Dominic's closed. Dominic's was closed. Dominic's is blocked down. Mm-hmm. Anybody listening from outside the Chicago area, Dominic's is the most. Is the second most popular grocery store in Chicago.
Number
right
one
behind.
Is
Jewel.
The Jewels.
The Jewels. Love Jewel.
Dominic's is closed.
Yeah, there's no 24 hours.
You know what they did? Ran out to an orchard field.
Unreal.
Yeah.
I remember that day because she looked exhausted and muddy when she came back in.
Right, but it was in Northwest Indiana. That orchard field closed. They go out to Dubuque, Dubuque, Idaho.
Idaho?
Oh.
Yeah.
Hot damn.
Some people thought I was going to say Iowa.
Yeah.
No, they went all the way out to Idaho.
To the lesser Dubuque.
Yeah, picked it up. They took a helicopter and brought back my 76-cent apple.
It was great. It was
good
like
service.
Apple, right?
Right.
Good one.
So what we're saying is comedianjushouldknow.com.
All right. If you've listened to the show before,
the for the apples.
You've heard Danny. On the live show, Danny was supposed to do 7 minutes at the Whistler. He did 16 minutes, and he also told everyone in the crowd how much he hated them and walked half of the room. And I thought we would never get to do the show again, and I loved every second of it. You're that kind of comic. We got to do the show again. They asked where you were.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they like you then, which was shocking to me.
Isn't that weird?
Like that Bill Burr Philadelphia people? Thing where people want him to shit on them when he goes
well,
back.
No, it goes. It's not even. It goes deeper than the Bill Burr thing. It goes back to women, and it must be everybody in life. I mean, a woman.
What are you talking about?
Well, I'm 30 years old.
So?
I can't keep a fucking girl.
Can I tell?
And you know, every girl that I can't keep, I treat her nicely.
Okay.
And every girl that likes me, I treat her like shit.
Dude, and I've so seen your pickup lines. He'll go up to a random girl at bars and literally say. Hey, he did this when we did a show in Springfield, Missouri. We did a Community You Should Know tour through Missouri, St. Louis, and all that shit. But when we were in Springfield, he went up to a girl and goes, "Listen, you're really only about a four.
Oh,
I'll still take you home tonight, though, darling." That was Danny Kelsey's exact line.
What happened with that girl?
First of all, he's lying.
Yeah, not
all
right. Lying. You
no,
fucking
I did not
said
say she was a four.
Passed
I
out
said
my
she
band.
Was a two.
Okay, fair point. You might have said two. I might have offered for you.
What happened with that girl?
Oh, One of my friends took her home.
Oh, yeah, good,
another
good.
Another member of the community she now hooked up with her.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right. Why?
Enough about Sanchez. I'm not.
we can't tell his dirty laundry.
All right. Well, speaking of Sanchez, Michael Sanchez has done the show before. Nothing like you two. Pretty much the exact opposite.
He is the exact opposite. Danny and I are probably the most similar on the show. Not material-wise or anything. We both have our own little styles.
Well, you're both from Chicago, and yeah. It sounds like you're from Chicago.
Yeah, Danny more so. He's a cartoon.
you're a cartoon.
All right. Sanchez, you know him. I love Sanchez.
I love him,
too.
The exact opposite.
He's good, though. We need that.
And I need everybody. I wouldn't even say, like, even as much as Joe and I are similar, nobody would ever go up and mistaken me for Joe.
We brought this up on the show last night, and it hasn't aired yet. Joe says he could beat anyone in a fight physically at Community You Should Know. Is that true?
One-on-one, yes. Together, all five of us?
That's what I'm thinking. I said you and Lebo versus him.
Well, I explained why I think I could still take out him and Lebo. I love Lebo, but a strong punch of the stomach takes him out, and then it's just one-on-one. It's a strategy. Take him out right away.
That and stomach
I mean,
is not.
You have no. You couldn't. You if you ran 20 feet right now, you would pass out. So I know all I got to do is take him out and then just kind of work the body with you and just take you down. I would tire you out. That's what would happen. But I would never fight them. They're my dear friends. I've only gotten physical with one member of the group.
Who?
Oh, I. This is public knowledge now. I don't care if anyone hears this. We joke and laugh about it now. At least I do. I pushed Drew Michael.
You pushed him. That doesn't count. It's
I know
pushing.
It was a push. That's what I said. But it still, you know, it caused ripples in the group. So.
You guys can't see this on the podcast, but it's very hard to get interviewed with a garage door opener at your mouth. That's what Brandon's all holding.
It really does look like it looks like one of those things that in Ghostbusters they would check for ghosts. Like Egon had this same thing
Zoom.
Holding where you're
don't make fun of the recording.
I'm not. I'm going to ask you where you bought that because when I start my podcast, the podcast I'm going to do, I'm going to
need a studio.
Well, I have a studio.
Oh, then you're good.
We have a studio, but also if I do stuff like this, where I would like to do what you're doing.
It's a thing.
It's cool. How's the sound quality?
It's really good, actually.
So there you go, man. Yeah. How much was that, if you don't mind me asking?
$300.
Done.
Now, this is going out to the World Wide Web, the www, the big one.
Oh, that's the big one, right? All the World Wide
Web. But the strange thing is, all three of us standing here right now, Joe went to St. Pat's, I went to Elmwood Park High School, you went to Fenwick.
Yeah, yeah.
All relatively close to each other.
Yeah.
So this is going all over the world, and we grew up within 5 miles of each other.
Side of the northwest side.
Do you still hang out with any of those guys that you went to high school with?
Yes, I do. Actually, I grew up in Elmwood Park, which is just outside northwest side. Joe grew up on the northwest side. I hung out with the same guys since kindergarten.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, when I started stand-up, it was very strange. I had to start making friends.
Yeah.
And I've never experienced anything like that before. I was 25 years old and was like, wow, I actually have to talk to these people and they have to somewhat like
me. What were you doing before stand-up?
I was working at a deadbeat job.
Did you work at a popcorn place?
A dead-end job. Hold on.
All right.
I was doing that while I was doing stand-up. But I was working in a warehouse. I was working as a delivery driver for a printing company.
Okay. And you were also you were in a warehouse, too.
I worked in the shipping department at a warehouse.
So the point is, if you want to be a good comic, you need to work in a warehouse and have friends from
high
school.
Some kind of shit job. Well, the friends from high school thing was, you know, he talked about making friends when he first started. Danny was one of the first friends I made, but I had the same thing because a lot of comedians in Chicago aren't from Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of them aren't. So when they come here, their only friends are other comedians.
True.
So at first I was a little bit jealous of that in a way where it's like, this is like their community. And I felt like, oh, I better try to like really get inside this. But then now I totally love the fact that all my friends, I still hang out with all my friends I grew up with too. It's nice to go to that because there are nights where you're like, I don't want to hang out with any comedians tonight. I need to be happy with myself. I need to hang out with people who aren't demoralized by a bad set every now and then, you know? So like, it's nice to have that other community to fall back on.
Yeah,
like
completely.
If I, you know, on a Sunday I could go watch the Bears game with like the guys I grew up with and really just have that. You need that. Escape.
Right.
You need that escape, though, from your world. Yeah, you know what I mean? And any art, I'm sure it's like that, you know?
No, but it is growing up here.
It's not an art. I don't know why. I really am one of those guys who doesn't think stand-up comedy is an art.
It's
technically an art, but I just don't ever want to take it that seriously. I don't.
You're touring the fucking country.
I know,
shut up.
But
you're taking it more seriously than anybody else in the group. No offense, Danny.
No, I agree. Joey works hard. Everybody works
hard. Everyone works hard, but he's doing it.
I loved it.
On a
I absolutely
level.
Love not only living in Chicago, growing up here, but also I love the Chicago stand-up scene. And my favorite comedian in Chicago is not standing next to me.
Who is it? Say it.
Well, my favorite, I mean, the comedian that makes me laugh the most is CJ Sullivan.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
He's unbelievable.
I'd love to be his manager. CJ Sullivan should be famous right now.
Oh, yeah, and if you guys don't know, listening, he does a show called Visitor's Locker Room. It's on iTunes. If you can get past the awful audio quality, it's one of the best shows in the world.
It's hysterical, but yeah, you're right. The audio quality is
insanely bad.
I've been on that show a bunch of times where even, like, listen, I can't even listen to the playback because sometimes the audio is bad.
Yeah, you got to listen to it not on headphones or else you'll be in pain.
Yeah.
But the best, but the comedian standing next to me right now, Joe Kilgallen, is... I said this last year in my one of my notes
blog.
I wrote on Facebook, which you know everybody
it's a Facebook
read.
Note, but that's a blog. That's right. That's the way to blog on Facebook.
And I still say it to this day. If you're talking about you put a comedian in any situation, a Chicago-based comedian, any situation, you don't tell him what he's walking into, Joe Kilgallen will do the best out of any other comedian I know personally. Not even in Chicago. Any comedian I know personally.
All right. That's a good voucher of approval.
It's a great compliment, but I just want to call him a fucking loser right now for fucking kissing my ass like that. No, I'm kidding. I appreciate Danny saying that.
What do you think of Danny?
I think Danny's unbelievable. I think Danny needs a little more confidence. I'd like to be Danny's manager.
Ooh.
No, I don't mean confidence on stage. I mean himself. Danny Kales will have a set where he blows up the room, where everybody's in stitches, laughing their ass off, going crazy for him. You talk to Danny afterwards, he acts like, eh.
What's the deal, Danny?
Come on. He's his own worst critic, which is a good motivation tool. But sometimes it's like, dude, you have to, like, embrace the fact that you just did awesome. You have to relish those moments because you never know when they're going to go away.
Response?
It's very nice that Joe said. It's very nice that you
true.
Said that.
I've always said
Danny. It's very nice that Joe said that. It's also hard to take compliments from somebody that has a big red bush.
Perfect. ComediansYouShouldKnow.com every Wednesday at Timothy O'Toole's. Buy tickets in advance. The shows do sell out. And if you buy them in advance, it's a half the price. So that's a good thing to do.
$5 online, 10 at the door.
Oh, here's a good thing. If you're a dude and you're in Chicago, you're like, I love comedy, but my girlfriend doesn't, or a girl I want to date. That's the one show you can bring a girl where she won't be pissed at you for bringing her to the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I haven't found that anywhere else.
But we're still going to fucking say some offensive material.
Oh, yeah,
you know what it is? You know what it is? We separate ourselves from everybody. I'm talking about... No, I'm serious.
All right.
Comedians Should Know, the group, the albums, like, we talked about whatever. But what I'm saying about, like, the show, it's a different experience that you're going to get anywhere else. I've heard from comedians all across the country as far as comedian-produced shows. There's nothing like that. And that's because it feels like a club. Like, you walk in, like, you're at a comedy club.
No, in a good way.
In
like
a good way.
It's not a good way.
No, I know what I mean. It's not
your
walk
on stage, and you don't do, and there's no inside jokes. Like, you get a lot of independent shows.
Yeah.
And so that's what separates us from comedian-produced shows. What separates us from clubs, even though it feels like a club.
It's affordable.
Not only it's affordable, but it's produced by comedians.
Okay.
And then after the show, which is Joey's idea, unlike any other club atmosphere... After the show, we have an after party with all the people that came.
It's fun.
That's why we get more repeat business than any club, any comedy show in the world because of the after party. We all get to know. I have people who started off as fans who I consider friends, like that I would invite to my wedding. Like, you know, if I ever decide to get married. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's what is pretty incredible about the show. And, you know, not enough sappy shit, but it really is. You're talking about, like, comedy club in a good way. Because a lot of comedy clubs have this...
They're not going to rape you with the drink prices.
And it's cookie-cutter comedy where it's like, really, dude, you're telling that joke? Everyone's original as shit on that show. I mean, we were joking around with Lebo and Sanchez and Drew, but they're all very original. Marty DeRosa could do crowd work better than anyone I've seen in the country. Like,
everybody.
There's
we have complete confidence with the six guys that we have in our group and everybody that we bring on, the best stand-ups in the city.
It's great talking to you guys. You talk about the group like it's a gang in a good way. You know what I mean? You got each other's back.
It grew organically. We were friends at open mics.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, hey, we're going to put this guy in because he's Irish like Joe, or he's a dirty spick like Sanchez, or he's a Jew like Drew, or he's got a kike nose like Marty.
What are you?
He's a fucking dirtbag like Lebo, or a dumb fuck like me.
There you go.
Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, no, we were friends and just happened to come together that way. And if you're listening to this, which of course you are, or else why would you be listening? to my voice. Just support what Brandon's doing. He's a good guy.
Let's kiss Weatherby's
ass. ComediansYouShouldKnow.com every Wednesday at Timothy O'Toole's. Buy tickets in advance. Thank you, gentlemen. Who am I standing with?
Megan Gailey.
Megan is the host of 8x8, a show that I've essentially made her host. Thanks for doing it.
Yeah, I love it. It's so fun.
See, that's the thing. Why do you love it? Is it fun?
It's fun for me because the thing is, it's here at the Hungry Brain, and this is a very hip bar.
Kind of.
And people always say to me, they're like, everyone here should hate you. Like, I'm everything that this bar is against.
Yeah, you have your shit together.
But that's why I like coming here, because it's like, if they hate me, it was set up that way. And if they don't, then it's a win, you know?
Okay, but look, I always ask you this. You've been on the show a few times. Why are you a stand-up? You don't need to do this. Does that make sense? I know this is incredibly insulting, but, like, one of your favorite comics sadly passed away today, Patrice O'Neill. He was the guy that needed to be a stand-up. He could not do anything else. But you are highly qualified to do many other things. So why stand-up?
I just love it. I don't know why. I mean, I'm addicted to it, I think. Like, I've gotten to the point where it was one of those things that I started at a really sad time in my life, and it, like, got me through it, and now it's like, oh, well, this is my, like, boyfriend that I love and that I want to marry, and that's who I just, like, want to be with.
So your ideal career is being a stand-up?
Nah, no, like, I want to do this. I love to act. I like
really? Yeah. You were in a short film tonight. It was very good.
I was.
Missed your performance, by the way.
No, I did. I love acting, and I wanted to be a sports, like, sideline reporter. That's
really?
My dream.
Okay, you can still do that.
Yeah, I could, but...
Do you want to do college or pro?
Anything.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? I don't get... Why?
Well, it's kind of like stand-up. Like, you have to do all this horrible shit to even make it to a level where it's any fun at all. And I would rather, like, to me, I look at moving to, like, Wichita and covering, like, frogs as open mics in Chicago.
Okay.
They both suck, and they're both leading to what you potentially want to do.
Okay.
But I like this better.
But on stage, you get to be yourself, or you get to write who you are. Right. Or if you're doing sports reporting, can you do any of that?
No, and that's why I like this better.
Okay.
I mean, my dream is to be able to do something where I can do sports and stand up.
And you actually are starting a podcast with Mr. Joe Kilgallen.
Right.
What's the name of the show?
It's called Naked Sports Live.
Okay. What's the premise of the show?
The premise is Joe Kilgallen is a very fiery man who also loves sports, and it's pretty much
just very rare in stand-up comedy.
Yeah, and a lot of stand-ups used to like sports, and then they get into stand-up, and then they forget that sports exist.
Yeah,
but it's pretty much that him and I love sports, and that we don't really have the restraints on us to not be able to say the stuff we want.
Okay,
like, I mean, you see, even wildly popular sports radio shows like Mike and Mike, it's like they still kind of have to toe the line because they're on ESPN. Mm-hmm. That's where their paycheck is coming from. But, I mean, just two comedians, you can say whatever the fuck you want about anything.
Okay,
you know, so we can talk about people cheating on their wives and doing steroids and gambling and the horrific things, and no one, who's going to be mad? No one's listening, one. So no one's mad, too. I mean, it just is like, oh, yep, here's these. I mean, that's kind of why sports bloggers are famous, and they say whatever the fuck they want.
That's true.
Unfortunately, even if it's not true, but it's just these nerdy fat men with acne typing, like, I mean, they're just, it's video game people that now can write about sports. That's what it is. So we're going to be that. And we're both redheads and moderately attractive.
Wait, redheads have something to do with the sports equation?
Well, he wants to play good cop, bad cop, and he thinks he's the good cop, but he's a lunatic. And I'm like, no, you're the bad cop. I'm the rational cop. You're the fucking unbalanced cop.
When can people hear this show? Soon.
Well, hopefully next week.
Really?
We'll probably, that's a tentative next week. The website is up, nakedsportslive.com. The Twitter is up. And then we'll hopefully be going live next week.
I want to be on the show as soon as I can.
You can be on it for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited.
We've got lots of fun. We're going to talk to cheerleaders, dancers.
Well, Joe's friends with some of the Blackhawks.
Right.
You're a Giants Colts fan, which I'm sorry.
It's
Are you even watching the NFL this season?
Oh, yeah, I'm watching it. It's weird. It's and like people will be like, "Are you like do you hate them?" And I'm like, "No, like if you have a kid and it has a traumatic injury, you don't stop loving your kid. Like it's just like, well, this is my shitty kid now." And I still like them. They just
loyal.
Yeah. A man at the gym, I like wear cold stuff and people will be like, "Oh my god, are you okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine." Like I think the Colts would be 8-8 this season with Peyton Manning. So I'd rather us be 0-16. It's fucking great. Like that is so that's how great he was, and everyone realizes it now, and it's like, what? I mean, just it's fine. One season. The thing that sucks is the Super Bowl's in Indy.
Yeah.
And Hillbilly, like everyone's so sad. Like it's just so, and they're trying to be so, because they're like, "We're so hospitable. We're gonna be happy no matter what." And it's like, no, you're not. Like you have the Pacers. That's it. Like this sucks, but it's fine. It'll be, the Super Bowl is gonna be great. So yeah. It'll be fine.
Are you gonna go?
Oh hell yeah!
All right.
My dad and I are going.
Oh, yep. Do you have tickets?
We will.
Oh my god, that's amazing. So yeah. NakedSportsLive.com.
Yep.
Those on your Facebook.
Yeah.
And all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Megan Gailey, she's one of my favorites. She's funnier than 90% of Chicago stand up.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
I'm trying to think of who's better and who's worse, and that's very me to do in front of someone.
I mean, I think about it all the time in my mind, so it's okay.
She's fantastic. Yeah, the Tamale Man. Cool. Round two, so thank you.
You're fantastic.
I'm a guy.
You and Patrice O'Neal are my parents' favorite. I'm not kidding.
That's highly depressing.
They saw you in D.C. and, yeah. And
you killed, man. Oh, you fucking murdered there.
It was so fun.
I'm saying you need to go not in Chicago because, like, the crowds here aren't for you. And they mean that in a weird way because, like, you say shit that's obviously there and they don't like that.
So, we have fun.
You have fun.
We have fun. I like to think they're having fun with me. No, I love it. I like it here, though. This is like boot camp. It's good.
All right, that's a good point. All right, Naked Sports Live.
NakedSportsLive.com. Yeah.
All right, who am I speaking with?
This is Tia Ayers.
Tia Ayers is the creator, the producer, the everything of the Pizza Film Festival.
That's right. That's what I am.
That's why we're all here tonight.
Yes, we were here for a successful evening of pizza and film.
You are no longer a Chicago resident.
No, I
flew in specifically for this event.
I just am a jet setter. I just flew in for the film festival, you know.
All right, this is the second year. The first year was a huge success, but you were still living in Chicago. What made you want to come back to do it again?
Well, actually, one of the reasons why I wanted to do it was because Brandon had already moved to D.C., so he wasn't here last year, and so I wanted to do it again with him, and there was just some people that were excited about it last year and didn't get a chance to submit, or they wanted to do something better, so I was like, yeah, let's do it.
So it was that much enthusiasm. And this year has been so good. As soon as the show is done, you're like, we'll be back next year.
Yeah.
Is that still true 2 hours later?
I feel like it's a growing thing. I feel like people get excited about it. If it only happens once a year, it's like a big event. But I don't know. I hope so.
Why did you want to do this?
Well, I wanted to do it because I made a short film and it just happened to have pizza in it and I couldn't get it into film festivals and I made some joke about there being a pizza film festival and not getting into it. And then I did research and there wasn't one and I thought, how funny would it be if it was an actual genre of film, if pizza movies was an actual genre and like treating it like that.
And you did a quite good job. Everything tonight was actually good. Everyone laughed at every single piece, which I heard wasn't the case last year.
Last year, I was so worried that I wasn't going to get any submissions. I was just like desperately asking people, I'm like, if you do a video, I'll put it up. So some people just got like flip cameras out and did videos. So I ended up getting a lot of submissions, which kind of made the show a little bit longer. And this year there weren't quite as many and everyone just like really wanted to outdo themselves from last year. So
and it showed.
Definitely better. Yeah.
But what's the goal for this thing? I mean, like, it's fun and everything, but you're in LA, you're a stand-up comedian, you're also a writer. Like, what's your personal goal?
With the Pizza Film Festival?
With everything in life.
Oh, God.
It's your life, lady.
I just want to create.
Oh, God, really?
I know that's a horrible thing to say.
It is a horrible thing to say.
I actually got a job by saying that. My first job in the entertainment industry.
What was that?
It was I was an office assistant for these producers that did made-for-TV movies, and I sat down, and I was like, I just want to create. And they were like, you're hired. So it's not that bad, I guess.
No, it's not. Do you enjoy L.A. now that you've lived there for, I think, almost a year?
Yeah, I'm originally from Southern California, and going back, well, living in Chicago for 2 years and then going back there, really just, I kind of got rejuvenated, and I just like it so much more now.
Why did you get rejuvenated? Or how?
I don't really know. Okay. I think maybe the weather.
Is it really that simple? You're freezing right now, aren't you? It's like 30 degrees right now.
No, I'm okay. I'm wearing a really nice North Face jacket. Available at northface.com.
Good, good, good.
I don't know. I just kind of started feeling like, well, something has to happen.
This is why I like Tia. Tia had, you couldn't move in the room. We were at capacity the entire night, and Tia has never sounded more bored. It's fantastic.
Me? Right now?
Yeah.
No, I'm totally not bored.
You're like, I did it. It's done. You sound relieved more than anything else.
I am relieved.
Because you told me the other day you were thinking about canceling it like 2 days ago.
I have a thing now where every time I do anything, whether, well, not if I'm going to do a comedy show, but if I'm putting something on, if I'm putting on a show, if I'm having people over, if I'm trying to organize anything, the day before I panic and want to cancel it.
What? That's awful.
I just suddenly feel like, oh, this is just not going to work.
In addition to being a producer of the film festival, you also made a film for the film festival.
I did.
Featuring three of the funniest women I know, you, Beth, and Aparna.
Aparna Ninchurla, yes.
And that's a Chicago, or that's an Iowa, D.C., and L.A. resident, and I know all of you, and I feel, like, lucky that I know you people.
Aww.
But your film was delightful. It was a 3.5-minute short. Will people be able to view this in the future?
Yeah, it's not anywhere right now because I'm holding off to try and get it kind of featured on Funny or Die or something like that, so I haven't put it out to the world yet, but it will be available.
Fantastic.
At some point.
Do you want to be a filmmaker? You are a filmmaker. Do you want to keep making films?
Yeah, right now I'm really comfortable with the short film world. The idea of feature films is like so overwhelming to me, but I'm excited about shorts, and also that's kind of like, there's a lot of shorts out there, and there's a lot of places to put them up where 10 years ago there wasn't.
Yeah. If you want to know more about Tia, you should listen to the interview we did last year, because we go really in depth. Like, she wrote a Lifetime movie, and I'm not going to talk more about that because you should listen to it. Parting words of advice for the kids at home, if they want to start their own film festival, their own pizza film festival, is there any words of wisdom that you could dish out?
The idea of doing anything is really hard, and you have to think about your life as though it's over already. And what would... What do you want to say that you did, you know?
Okay, that's good.
Do you want to say that you just, like, sat around, or it was, like, that you did what you wanted to do?
And you're doing what you want to do?
Yeah, I think so.
Any back doors locked? Yeah.
Okay, right here.
All right. Maybe you
want to
try and lock.
Figure out. Yeah, your neighbors saw it open, so they called us, okay?
Awesome. Thanks.
All right, so that was the episode. The cops are leaving. We're still staring at them from a window. You want to guess what it was, Esmeralda? You know what it was. What was it, Esmeralda?
Because they were drunk?
They were drunk. It was just a drunk woman.
Yeah, well, they probably should have heard us yelling.
And here's the thing. Listen, guys, if you want to, this is for all the kids out there, if you're interested to meet your neighbors, knock on their doors at 3 a.m., just try to open them slowly, and you're going to meet some very attractive, nice people.
Follow us on Twitter at YMTE. Friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/youmethemeverybody. And for details on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, go to youmethemeverybody.com.